Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. I was in this passage last week. Didn't really finish. But we're studying Christ the healer and healing as part of the gospel. And there's much to look at. I felt impressed of the Lord to make that our focus in Bible study time, because the times we're living in are times where healing's needed in a great, great way. And we need to be strong in faith relative to that redemptive provision of God, so that we can partake and walk in it, and not only walk in it ourselves, but to carry that to others. So Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days." Now, this is in the beginning of his ministry. "And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway men gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not as much as about the door, and he preached the word to them." So as soon as people heard he was at this particular home, everyone flocked there, where you couldn't even get in the door. Every seat was filled, probably every space on the floor was filled. You know, knowing how when people are desperate, they will really persevere, pursue, and press in. Many times people don't receive because they're not really desperate enough to press in and lay hold of that which is there. So the people were pressing in. And it says, "There came one bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four," or there was four men carrying him on a gurney or a stretcher of some sort. "So they could not come nigh unto him for the press." Now, when you have a crowd of people, you might try to squeeze in, but to carry a stretcher, it'd make it a little bit tough. So they couldn't get through the crowd, but they would not be deterred or stopped. And what's interesting, not only did the man who was sick have a perseverance in his heart, but his four friends did. That's the kind of friends you want to have. You know, people can say, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you," and it becomes cliche. That bothers me. I don't ever want to be that guy. You know, it's just, "Oh yeah, I'll pray," and you never pray. But rather, a real friend, you're sharing in the joy and the grief of another person. The essence of friendships, you're sharing your life with one another. So if you're identified in love with someone, you're also going to be willing to pay the price to do whatever it takes. Now, you easily see that with people with their children. They have an inherent natural love for their children, and they'll do whatever it takes. You know, you might have someone like, say, mom staying up all night with a child with a fever because of her love for him. Well, these four friends were real friends, and they wouldn't be stopped. They were not going to be easily discouraged or say, "Well, you know," from a distance, say, "Well, we'll never get in there. We might as well go head back home." No, they thought, "How can we get to Jesus?" Because the place of their faith was, if we can get our friend to Jesus, we know Jesus will heal him. He's expressed that already repeatedly, "I will come and heal someone." And that when he also touched, as example, Peter's mother-in-law, she was healed. So where their faith was, if we can get him to Jesus, that Jesus can touch him, then he will be healed. So being undeterred, they cut a hole in the roof. Now, that was risky in itself. I know around here, you go take a chainsaw to somebody's roof, you might get shot. But they did that. Of course, the roofs would have been much more simple, probably more like palm branches or something like that, thatched. So it wouldn't have been as difficult, but still it had to be strong enough to climb up on top. and come down through. Now, I don't know what kind of structure they were in. In some parts of the world, your upper level is flat. You know, a lot of hot climates, it'll be flat, and they might go up there and hang out the wash or whatever. But in any case, they cut a hole through the roof, and they had some extra rope and lowered him down in front of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. Now, the point I want to get into here now and emphasize is that faith has a corresponding action. You do act according to what you believe. Just as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will speak out of what's really in you. Now, you can learn to say the right things and cover up. You can learn to try to not say things you know are not correct to say. But eventually, what's in you is going to come out. As much as you try. It's like, you know, kids, many times, if they don't have a revelation and a conviction, which are works of the Holy Spirit, they'll learn to say the right things. And that's what I call becoming church-wise. They learn what's expected to be said. So in the presence of their parents or maybe at church, they'll say the right words. Well, what did you learn at church today, Johnny? Jesus died for my sin. They know it's the right thing to say, even though the teacher wasn't teaching that week. I know whenever our sons would say something like that, then that meant we had to press them and bring out something specific. And usually they could articulate something because they weren't sitting there sleeping or whatever. But, of course, girls like to talk details, and boys are headliners. You know, boys will just say some more general statement. That's very typical difference between boys and girls. Well, when you believe something and it's a part of you, you're going to speak it and you're going to act upon it, or speaking is part of the actions of your life. We don't want to be a learn to be a people that just learn to say the right things. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. My parrot does that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I mean, she does that, but she doesn't have revelation. So there's no power in her words, even though she's saying words that for me could release power. She doesn't have revelation of that. Now, she does have revelation of what thank you means. Appreciation and love, she understands that. So she'll tell Donna she loves her. She'll never say that to me, because the nature of the creature is they'll choose one person. But she understands what some things mean. It's not just she heard a word. Some things she understands. But she doesn't know who Jesus is. That's a revelation of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when it comes to the things of God and the kingdom of God in our life, we need to seek him unto revelation, and we need to continue in the word unto a conviction, not only of sin, but a conviction of faith. You have a conviction about what you believe, and what will begin to happen is it will affect the very words and acts of your life. And it's in those words and those actions that the power of God is released in our life. If the power of those words are not, or the power of Christ is not released, it doesn't do you any good. It's just knowledge. And sad to say, there are many who traverse around who have knowledge of God, but they're never really walking in it or releasing anything. So Jesus saw their faith. Now you can see love as well, because love gives. If you really love someone, you're going to give. Now the world, to make money, has set forth Valentine's Day. And you know, it's a good thing. It's not an evil thing. I got ahead of the game and got flowers on Wednesday because they might not be there tomorrow. It's just the way supply and demand is right now. But that is an expression of love. We understand that. Now, someone could get flowers out of obligation, and it doesn't express love at all. If we have love in our heart, there's going to be a manifestation of words like, thank you. Please, would you do this? Please. What could I do for you? You know, things like that are going to be coming out of our mouth. If we're just taking people for granted or expecting it, then you don't feel the need to say those things, or you don't see a value in it. But when you love someone, you think about, how do I express appreciation? And that should be something that becomes a habit in your life, not just something, oh, yeah, it's a certain day out of the year. It's Christmas, I'll give a gift. It's Valentine's Day, I'll give flowers. It's a birthday, I'll give a gift. But rather, we're doing that as a lifestyle, a continuum in terms of a flow. And that's where we can partake a continuous flow of the joy of the Lord, regardless of what's happening around us. So faith has evidence to it. Love has evidence to it. There will be corresponding action. Now, before I come back to these scriptures, I want to go to James chapter 2, and beginning at verse 14, and just expound on the scripture a little bit more about faith's corresponding action. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? You can say you believe whatever. He says, if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and you say, oh, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you don't give the things that they need, what good does it do? Just saying the right words alone doesn't do any good. If you have a physical need, it requires physical action. If your need is for encouragement, well, then you need encouraging words. There's a place for that. If you need faith, you need the word of the Lord that would bring faith. But if you don't have any food, you need food. You don't need just words. Well, be filled, be blessed, God loves you. Yeah, there's a place for certain things to be said and done. And some things are N.A., not applicable at that time. But someone who's somewhat religious in their thinking will say things like, well, why, you know, I told you I loved you when we got married. You know, why do you think I should have to do that today? That's nothing but pride. If you've ever done that, repent. Don't justify it. Well, he goes on to say here, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead being alone. In other words, if you actually do believe something, there will be a corresponding actions. He says, if a man say you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So that which you do speaks of that which you believe. So again, there is a corresponding action to faith in what we believe. So sometimes you have Christians who are double-minded who will say, well, yeah, I believe God wants to prosper me, but at the same time they're living in fear and allowing the spirit of fear upon them because their belief in lack is stronger. So you can believe two diametrically opposed things, but what you believe stronger is what's going to dominate. It's what you really believe. And this confuses people sometimes. You can say, well, yeah, I believe the Lord's a healer, but I feel pain And I believe in that pain, and that pain means there's something wrong. And if you have a stronger belief in what you're feeling than what God says, then you will. Then that is actually what you believe. Even though you do believe, yes, Christ does heal, but the strength of my faith is in what I'm feeling right now. So you can have things that are opposed that you believe both, but which is stronger? That's what you have to ask yourself. So we need to meditate upon the Word of God, or continuing in the hearing of the Word, hearing yourself, speak it to yourself, read it, ponder it, to where that becomes the stronger thing, the more dominant thing in you, and then your actions will correspond to that. So sometimes we're faced with a situation where you have, and this is not to pick on the medical community, but according to their knowledge, they might say, you need this operation. And that could be true according to their knowledge, according to what they understand and have been taught. But there's another truth of Jesus Christ being your healer. So it comes down to which do I believe more so right now? Not what did I believe 5 years ago or 20 years ago. What do I believe today? What is my stronger belief today? So sometimes people, they know about Christ the healer. They may have already received healing from the Lord, but they're not current in their faith or current in being strong in that belief. So they hear something else and they're ascribing more authority to the words of man who has a degree or what have you knowledge, and they have authority in their words, and they just go along with that. Now, if you've done that, that's not a place like for condemnation, just to stay in condemnation or feel like a failure. We need to be honest with ourselves. Am I in faith now? We can't deceive ourselves about this and try and act like a word of faith. Because it's not about acting like you're in faith. It's what you believe for real. Your stronger dominant belief is what you're going to speak and act. Now, you might try to do something different for a while, but when there's enough pressure, you're going to act according to what you really believe. And the enemy will work to bring doubt to God's word, just as he did with Adam, and he tried to do with Jesus. He's always going to try to bring us to doubt. Now, if you have doubt, if you're not strong in faith, and the knowledge of man says you need this operation, well, then you better get the operation or take the painkiller or whatever the situation would be. But be honest with yourself and realize, I'm not where I need to be today, but I'm going to work to change that. Meanwhile, if I don't get this operation, I could die tomorrow. So I'm going to build my faith while I get this thing done over here. Now, this is important to understand, because a lot of believers get into some confusion and condemnation then, feeling that they're not walking in the light that they have. And what many people do is they change their doctrine in. Well, the Lord doesn't want to heal everybody. They'll change doctrine, and then they're never going to receive again by the Spirit of God. It'll all be on man, what man says and does. And you have to know where you're at. And sometimes you might need a miracle. Recently, with what I've gone through, I was in a hospital and such, and I had infection that could kill you and all the rest. They did a scan. They said, well, your arteries clogged in your leg. You're not getting any blood flow. And that's not going to heal. That can't heal. Your foot can't heal. There's no blood flow. You have to have this surgery. And the surgery is to put a stent in this, that, and the other. I didn't feel peace about it. I didn't feel that was a will of God for me. And I didn't agree with them. And I didn't know whether they were just trying to make money or what, this, that, or the other. That's all another issue. My inability to trust hospitals. I've seen them kill enough people to not warrant my trust, okay? Most everybody that works there is well-intentioned. They want to do the right thing, but what you have to understand is their basis of knowledge is inferior. If somebody wants to know to God and they stumble into a Catholic church, they're probably going to end up walking out more confused and worse off than before they went in, because the basis of knowledge is incorrect in the majority of people who would be speaking there. It's just religious training. It's not really. Now, there are those who are spirit-filled in a place like that, but the majority are not. So you have to understand, if you submit yourself to the wrong knowledge, what they might be saying might even be true according to what they know. But it's not the higher truth. It's not the truth. So anyway, you're saying, okay, we have a scan. There's no blood flow. Your foot's not going to heal. We're going to end up having to amputate your foot or your whole leg, blah, 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 blah. I said, no. Jesus, my healer. And we have to keep going to the foot doctor, where they can milk the cow. Oh, there's a little facetious words there. Medical systems just milking cows. Oh, is insurance pay for it? Well, who's paying for that? It's justified thievery. Anyway, lo and behold, I go, and the foot doctor's poking around. Blood starts coming out my foot. Now, according to them, there's no blood moving through my leg. It's not possible. Without the surgery, that's not possible. That does not heal. Well, in the name of Jesus Christ, it did heal. The arteries did open in the name of Jesus Christ by a prayer of faith. You poke around her enough, there's going to be blood all over the floor, lady. But you see, that was a moment in time, a place in my faith. I had a decision to make. Now, my naturopathic chiropractor said, well, it's good you didn't do that, because you get these stents and all this stuff, blood clots will form on either end of it, and they have to be replaced and redone and all this kind of stuff. That's dangerous. But they didn't tell me that. Finally, you know, and I did have a specialist person say, well, I said, you tell me everything about what you're talking to me about doing. First one to be honest with me. Well, we put that dye in you, that could cause kidney failure. And see, the reason what set off diabetes was kidney function. I said, well, I'm not doing that. Why didn't these other people even tell me? They're just saying, you need to do this. You need to do this. Why? Because a manual, a procedure, the person writing their paycheck told them that's what you're going to tell people like me. The system's corrupt. I wasn't planning on saying any of this. By the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. It's corrupt. Do not underestimate how corrupt the systems of this world have become. Whether it's medical system, government system, economic system, educational system, and the beast referred to in Revelation is systems being established. It's not a person. They're systems. So it becomes almost impossible. Well, who to even talk to about this? It's a system. And you're in or you're out. You submit or you resist. And if you're going to resist the system, you better be submitting to God, because you don't have anything else. Well, what you really believe is going to be tested. And we can say we believe whatever. And a lot of Christians deceive themselves. But when you're up against the proverbial wall, what you really believe is going to come out. Now, if you come into that place and you find yourself, I'm not where I need to be. And you'll probably come into that place a time or two in your life. Well, don't beat yourself up, condemn yourself. Repent for not being where you need to be. Father, forgive me for not pursuing you and your word as I need to. I didn't realize I wasn't in the place I need to be. And begin to pursue it. You know, we have to really be careful. We don't become lazy as Christians, where we want somebody else to do our praying for us and just to do it all for us. God wants us to seek him, because in the process of seeking him, you not only come to know him, but you become strong in him. And it's the process. So back again to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The first word, and I say this a lot, but it bears repetition because it's been taught not this way by everybody I've heard teach it. Different Greek words translated one English word, by, and they don't mean the same thing. The first one's ek, means out of. It's out of that process of the lifestyle, living the life of listening to the Lord, hearing him. And if we don't have the fear of the Lord, you can hear words and not really hear in your heart. It doesn't penetrate the heart. But to open our heart, because we respect the person of God more than our own opinions and our own thoughts. Many people, in their pride, they respect their own thoughts more than what God would say. And that will evidence itself out in how you treat and handle the word of God and the scriptures. But as I understand, God, you know, I need to hear from you. It's out of that process of hearing you. I'm going to abide in the word and make that where I live. And not just give myself over to entertainment and mental stimulus with visual things, but rather the word of God. Praise God for something like an iPad. I use mine hours every day. That's because that's where my Bible is. Now, I still like holding physical pages. But I love to look up every single word. And even though I might have looked it up 100 times, I'll look it up again today. I don't do refried beans. I force myself to seek God and wait upon him for every message I preach. I don't just make an outline. Well, here's a sermon. And then I'll, you know, pull it out. Well, I preach this before. I'll try and, yeah, I'm too lazy to pray or seek the Lord. We'll have warm-ups. But it could be the same scripture. But to seek him, wait upon him, lay and meditate. I love to lay and meditate. You know, with what I've gone through in the last couple of months, I've had many, many nights I don't sleep at all because of like antibiotics and stuff like that. I'm just laying there wide awake. What do you think I'm doing all night? Meditating the word of God. That's why, even though, you know, I'm so exhausted and tired, I can get up and the words start pouring out of my heart strong. Even though physically I just soon be laying in bed. You see, you can keep yourself strong meditating his word. Or you can be idle-minded or just entertainment and have the TV and lots of noise all around you. But we want to be hearing the word and stay strong in the word of God, that our faith be strong. Now, faith comes in out of the process of continual hearing. And it says, and hearing by the word of God, or the second place by means unto completion in the Greek. Hearing till it's done. How long do I need to keep hearing this till it's done? How long do I need to keep hearing, meditating on all the scriptures on healing till I'm completely whole? And then after I'm completely whole, to hear it some more so I can stay strong in faith, so when the next challenge or opportunity comes up, I'm ready for it. Yeah. Well, faith without works is dead, as even the devils believe. Faith without works is dead, or if you really believe, there will be a corresponding action in our life. Now, you don't do something to try to make faith happen. Here's where, again, confusion comes. I remember a brother one time telling me, he came into church just some years ago. He wore glasses, and he didn't have his glasses. He couldn't see very well without them. And he was listening to someone teach on faith. And he takes his glasses and throws them on the floor and busts them. Well, that didn't make his eyes get healed. He just broke his glasses. He's out, whatever they cost back in, $100, $200, whatever. You see, you don't do something to make faith happen. It's in the abiding in the word. It rises in your heart. And you come to a place where you know something's changed in you. I believe this word more than what I feel, what I see, and what I hear from man. And you just naturally, you know, work out from that. You know, this morning, my wife was up ahead of me and took the dog out. She said, there's 5 inches of snow on the ground outside of our house. I said, well, I didn't even know it was supposed to snow. I wasn't paying attention to the word of the weatherman. And, so I didn't have any thoughts in my mind about it. Yeah, so I made some phone calls. Well, yeah, like Randy and Shane and Steve, like, hey, you know, is there snow up here? Because sometimes we get more in Dallastown. Well, they say it was like 2 inches here, 5 inches in Dallastown, it's on the hill. And how's the parking lot? Yeah, so I was looking to their word. I saw something with my eyes. There's snow all over the place. Do we need to have a delay, a cancellation? What's the situation? Because love would say, if the roads are ice, especially this one out here, Locust Grove Road, you know, with the hill, if that's ice, it's not love to ask somebody to drive that and wreck her car. Is the lot clear? Is it clearable? Where are we at? So my eye said one thing, but the word of my friends who I trust said, no, it's fine. It's melted. It was warm yesterday. There's no ice. So here we are. Yeah, so you have conflicting things in life. Again, to look outside, all I saw was snow. But I didn't really know, well, what's the condition of the road? Now, in a world, there can be all kinds of evil going on around us, but that doesn't mean you're going to suffer or be killed or whatever else. And it's interesting how, when it comes to travel, people that don't travel only have, the only thing they have to go by is what they're hearing on the news media, which oftentimes is lies or it's not true. It's like, I remember when Brother Israel, the last time he came over here, you know, there was rioting and stuff going on in a few of the cities. And they were really worried about us. And I said, it's fine here. York, Pennsylvania is fine. There's no trouble. There's no You know, we have different race people living on my street. We all get along fine, walk over, no problem. But what they heard in their media, it's the Wild West. We're all out here blowing each other away. I mean, that's the image that was created. So he comes over, you know, his kids at that time were going to get to college in Poland. I said, well, I want to buy him some coats. They didn't have, you go from India to Poland, it's hot and cold. And so we bought him some coats, went down to Burlington, and there's different race people shopping in the store, ringing, you know, at the cash register and all that. Everybody's smiling, getting along fine. And he was kind of like amazed. He heard a whole different report. It's like, you know, if I go certain places and people will hear, well, something happened over here, over there. That doesn't mean they're all killing each other. Now, there can be times it's worse than what you're hearing. It is going on. But the thing is, what's the truth? So you want to find an eyewitness what's really going on. You know, it's like relative to Ukraine, our media says stuff, but they're not worthy of trust. So I text Alex and say, what's going on over there? What's the situation? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? And you might get a different report then. Well, we need to tune into channel Heaven and get the eyewitness report of the Holy Ghost as to what the truth is in God. And then whoever you decide to believe, that's going to influence your action. Now, I believed Randy when I talked to him. No reason not to believe what he says. So we just kept getting ready and come to church. Okay, church is on. What do you believe? What do you believe? You do act according to what you really believe. We hear conflicting reports. But that which is the dominant thing is what's going to rule us. And Satan's game is to bring lies, to bring us then into fear or lust, depending on what he's trying to accomplish. Fear or lust, that we then are manipulated not to obey God or not do what he would think. It's like you hear, if you were to hear, oh, there could be a layoff at the plant where I'm working. What are you going to start tithing because of that? That doesn't change what God says about the promise of the tither. Well, the windows of heaven are still going to be open to me. And all the more so, if it does shut down, I need to know that his blessing is unhindered in my life. And not to allow myself, because people very easily make money their source and thus their workplace, just as they might make medicine or technology or things like that, the source or basis for their decision. So as we are stronger and stronger believing God for whatever, whether it's protection, peace, prosperity, healing, all of the covenant promises, as we are strong in faith, we're going to walk that out accordingly. And that's going to come out of the commitment to a lifestyle of abiding and hearing the word. And something we have to be careful about is we don't get too busy and enter the realm of mental assent that, yeah, I know that, I know that, I know that. I don't have to just meditate and be still and know that he's God. It's one of the great concerns I have in the present generation is there's so much noise with all the electronic gadgets and everything else, so much noise that people aren't still, they won't just be still to meditate and know that he is God. I remember talking with Brother Emil once, and he was so frustrated because they would buy sound equipment, and within a year, we'd go back a year later, and stuff we'd take over didn't work because all the dirt and dust in the air, you know, would interfere with the contacts and all of that. And he, you know, he was, just need to have it like it used to be. We just walk down the road and sing. And yeah, he did like his, like imaginary trumpets, you know, make his own music. And, you know, up until more recent years, kids were more instructed and learned to sing songs themselves rather than just put the headphones on and let somebody do it for them. And what's sad in that is you singing it yourself, not just listening on the headphones to someone who can do it better than you. The power of God's release in you expressing it. And you have people missing out on the release of the power of God and getting away from the simplicity. Just the simplicity of just singing and worship the Lord. The granddaughters were over Friday evening, and Sophie's sitting there humming a song. You know, she's learning music, and I was like, "What's that music coming from?" Donna said, "Sophie, is that you?" And she was a little embarrassed for a minute. It was like, "Well, yeah, I was just humming, you know, a song." Oh, praise God! I mean, do kids even walk around and hum and sing to themselves anymore? No, just pop the headphones on. Let somebody else do it for me. See, there's a mindset. Let somebody else do the praying for me. Let someone else do the worship for me. We don't come in here and just listen to the worship team entertain us, but to enter in and to lift our voice before the Lord as he commands us in his word, and to sing our heart and sing out our faith in God and enter into the corporate anointing together. It's not about entertainment. It's not about just doing our duty or punching our time clock for God. But we should never lose the joy of the worship of the Lord or rejoicing in him. Maybe when you're running that vacuum cleaner where you just are thanking God you have a vacuum cleaner to pick the dirt up off the floor rather than complaining about the dirt on the floor. You know, we practice the rejoicing and the praise of God. That's the continued expression of our faith. If it's what we believe, these things should naturally be occurring and coming out of us. I didn't make it to James 5 yet. Maybe we'll get there next week. But it says, is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Pray the prayer of faith. The Lord will raise them up. So as we're abiding in him, we stay strong in our faith. And we want to keep the simple things of the spiritual life. They cannot be replaced. We cannot let ourselves get so busy. We don't have time for the simplicity of what the Bible lays out for how to walk as a believer.